Is up, Steelers Nation. Thank you so much for jumping on to another episode of the Steelers Collective. I'm Noah Strackbine, joined always by Mark Caboli and Ray Fittipaldo. Find us on youtube.com/Steelers Collective. Check us out anywhere you get your podcast. Boys, it's a beautiful one here in the Berg. Hope you enjoyed your fourth. How you feeling?
It's a little warm out there still.
A little bit. Were you hoping for a cold at this point?
Well, weren't we supposed to be a little bit cooler? I guess a little bit cooler is 90, but I just got in the truck and it was like 89, 90 in my car. So, wow.
But, guys, I say enjoy it while it lasts. 3 weeks from tonight, we will be in Latrobe. Day of Steelers training camp. So, I'm trying to enjoy the last bits of summer here.
Yes. I think that's a great reminder that we all need to hear, because the chaos is coming. And when it happens, it does not end for a long, long time. In the meantime, there is chaos all over the place in different ways and for different reasons. And the latest one involves other AFC North teams. That's where we'll start today. ESPN dropped their rankings of every team's depth chart in the NFL. The Pittsburgh Steelers rank 19th, which in itself brings questions, but they sit in the AFC just above the Cleveland Browns, who are 31st. The Cincinnati Bengals are 15, and the Baltimore Ravens are 5. I will start off with a question here. Should the Pittsburgh Steelers, are the Pittsburgh Steelers really the third best team in the AFC North?
Wow. I think people are, Ray, I don't know about you two thinking, I think people are really high on for Cincinnati for some reason. I'm not quite sure why. Did they improve? Yes. They have a good quarterback? Yes. But there's still a lot of issues there. I mean, the biggest flaw to that to me would be Baltimore at 5. I mean, what did they do to significantly upgrade? Unless you're assuming Lamar Jackson is turning back into MVP Lamar. If MVP Lamar is back there, back where he's at, yes, they're a top-notch team. They're probably the best team in the AFC North by far, I think, by far. But there's a whole new coaching staff there as well, too. So those things apply from – you apply to Pittsburgh. It also applies for Baltimore. You got a 30-some-year-old running back. I just don't think people trust the McCarthy/Rodgers reunion. And I think that's why – and they like to dump on them a lot. I don't think they're – what was the number again? 19th?
19th.
Ooh. I don't know. I don't really see Cincinnati having being that great of an improvement over last year. I just don't see it.
Well, this goes back to the national analysts always thinking that Mike Tomlin outcoached his opponents. And I feel like we've been in this position here for the last 6 years or so since Ben Roethlisberger retired. You had the Bengals and the Ravens, probably because of their quarterbacks, with better odds going into the season than the Steelers. And then somehow, some way, whether it's injuries to Burrow and Jackson or the Steelers just maybe playing above expectations, the Steelers are either in playoff position or they're fighting for playoff position every year here since, 2021, since the year Ben retired. So it feels like it's old hat, and they probably should be 14th or 15th, just looking at where they finished in the playoffs. They got bounced in the first round, so maybe you knock them down to 15 or 16. But in the end, 15, 19, who cares? They probably are a mediocre roster in comparison to the other teams in the NFL right now.
I mean, I agree with that. I think they're a very average roster in terms of the NFL, and I don't think they're very deep at a lot of positions. But on the AFC North side of things, I get the Baltimore Ravens. I get the Lamar Jackson thing, Mark, just like you said. If Lamar is Lamar, just like if Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow, they're better teams, because at the end of the day, they have franchise quarterbacks who are some of the best, top five in the NFL, maybe top three when they're playing at their best. The Baltimore Ravens hired a new coach that has no head coaching experience. You can't make the same argument for Mike McCarthy. And the Cincinnati Bengals were the only team to keep their coach, and they had the worst coach in the AFC North. So to me, I just feel like nobody really got that much better. The Steelers, meanwhile, I think did. Like, I think the Steelers went out there and built a roster that is set to win, you know, to try and compete for a Super Bowl this year, whether or not that happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't put my money on it, but that was their game plan. And I think they did a better job this offseason than they've done in quite some time. Mediocre, yes. I think the whole AFC North is still pretty mediocre when you look at it, though.
I think the bigger picture here is the NFL is 24/7, 365. And even though we got about 6-7 weeks off between the end of OTAs and minicamp and training camp, we manufacture stuff. We all do it. And I think this is some manufactured stuff right here. How the heck do we know who's number 17, who's number 5? I mean, there's so many variables to it. It's something to talk about right now, but it's just us, not us. We would never manufacture a story for this time of the year. But, no. I mean, who even wrote this? I don't want to be critical or anything, but I guess I am.
It was Aaron Schatz, Seth Walder, and somebody Clay.
So I'm guessing the analytics guys. So they look at last year and say the 2.1 yards per attempt and blah, 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 blah. Not to take into account you got a new offensive coordinator, new play caller, new everything, different players, different schemes, different wide receivers. It's a hard job. It's a hard job. I mean, how the heck do – it's like us sitting here trying to talk intelligently about the Miami Dolphins. I don't know.
That's my point every time is I don't know how you come up with rankings if you – I don't know how you come up with anything on a national level and look at it and say, I understand every team enough. And I mean, you guys have been covering the team longer than I have. Is the – when I grew up, my dad would always tell me – that ESPN loves talking shit on the Pittsburgh Steelers. They loved it.
That's it. You know what? Oh, Noah, and I'm sure Ray can talk about this too. Is I don't want to interrupt you, but I did.
No.
Especially with like announcers on like NBC, because NBC covered AFC. Insert ex player, ex announcer really hates the Steelers. I mean, it's happened forever in this town. I'm guessing it's everywhere, but. Bob Trump hates the Steelers because he played for Cincinnati.
That's what I was going to say. I'm so old, I remember when Bob Trumpy was that guy. And it's been, I mean, it's been so many others since then. You know, Beasley Reese and, yeah, all those guys.
Collinsworth's the one now, right? Everybody hates
Collinsworth's the one now, for sure. But is the Steelers, I guess, you know, I hate such a strong word, but like just the misunderstanding of the Steelers, is that as real as people say it is? Are they overlooked nationally a lot?
I think what's at play, and Mark kind of touched on this a little bit, is it's the belief in the Rodgers-McCarthy reunion / I think a lot of people out there think Mike Tomlin did a terrific job.
Yes.
Last 5-6 seasons without Ben Roethlisberger. And there's just a lot of doubt among national analysts about whether McCarthy can repeat that and do what Mike Tomlin did. So, you know, from the unknown aspect of it, I kind of get that. But, you know, Mike McCarthy has his own resume, a Hall of Fame resume, just like, you know, Mike Tomlin. So you might not have the consistency of the winning seasons. And, you know, recently, you know, Mike was probably in the playoffs more than Mike Tomlin was more in the playoffs more than McCarthy. But I do think there's that kind of national like Mike Tomlin was favored in the national media for so many years. And I think there's just a little bit of doubt about whether Mike McCarthy can be that guy in Pittsburgh.
And I wouldn't put it past a lot of people of wanting to see Aaron Rodgers fail miserably.
that part's honestly, also
I think that's a big
probably
part.
True. That's probably also true. That's honestly, yeah, you're right. Especially coming from the media side of things, I would, I agree with that one. Actually, 100%. That's probably very true. The one point that they did point out that brings up something else is the biggest concern on the roster, which they dubbed the off-ball linebacker. And, well, Ryan Clark kind of agrees, and maybe Joe Witt does too. He revealed a conversation that he had with the Pittsburgh Steelers assistant head coach in which they talked about the concerns of the team, and one of which he points out, or the one that he reveals, is inside linebacker. Is there a concern at inside linebacker? Should the Pittsburgh Steelers be concerned? I think I take this away, and you guys probably don't read into it as much as I do, because, I mean, just truthfully, I love making more out of something than it is. But I look at this and say, those conversations of, you know, potential trade thoughts, I'm not saying that they went out there and actively shopped them, but the thoughts of a trade, the rumors that they were, you know, getting phone calls and engaging in those phone calls, maybe hold more weight than we thought, because maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't too pleased with the two guys that they have in house. I don't know. That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, I would imagine that both can be true. I think that they do need to get better. I mean, let's face it. Patrick Queen played half the last year hurt.
Very true.
After the season. Now, does that make any difference of his inconsistency? I'm guessing it could have. Peyton Wilson, same way. He wasn't hurt, but he didn't take that huge step forward. So if you're looking at question marks, yes, it is definitely a question mark, but it's not a question mark that I don't think that can be overcome from what's in-house. You got two guys that need to be more consistent, and you got to have depth that proves to be decent in depth. And right now, we don't know what we really got with Cole Holcomb. You saw him so sparingly last year. Malik Harrison's a one-trick pony, and Carson Bruner's a special teams guy. So I can see overall concern because of the depth and the lack of consistency there. But I think if those guys play up to their standard, I think they're good enough. Yes.
You know, I think you have to really pay attention to the personnel turnover over the next couple of seasons with the new coaching staff. And, you know, I look at Patrick Queen as a Mike Tomlin free agent guy, right? Like, I know Omar and Andy were in on that, but just go back to that, his introductory news conference, guys. I mean, just the way that, you know, he vibed with Mike, and, you know, Pat Queen basically said he's here because of Mike Tomlin. And I definitely think there's something to that. If you go back and look at it, the Steelers basically said, okay, Robert Spillane, you're not good enough to play for us. We're going to go out and get Patrick Queen. And then what did Robert Spillane do for Patrick Graham with the Raiders? He became a guy who got paid, really paid, to go to New England. And he's established himself now as a really good inside linebacker in the right system. Maybe the Steelers system wasn't good for him. Maybe this new system will be good for another guy. But I certainly get the sense that Mark does, and we've talked about this in previous weeks. There's no momentum for a new contract with Patrick Queen. So it just seems like we're going to play this out this year, hope it gets better. But again, you're probably going to see some personnel turnover, not only at inside linebacker, but at other positions on this roster as well.
Yeah, other positions for sure. There's a couple of them, you know, but those names are obvious. They've been kind of obvious. My thing with Patrick Queen, and the same with Peyton Wilson, is like, how bad do you – and I think Patrick Queen's going to be just fine. I want to make that, you know, very known. Is Patrick Queen, once he got beat up, and you saw it, like you watched it happen. You watched any explosive play whatsoever completely disappear. You watched him. He was still involved in a lot of tackles. I mean, led the team in tackles, but there were moments where you're going, that's not the Patrick Queen that was here in week three. And you saw that. I think a full season of healthy Patrick Queen under a new defensive coordinator probably works. My other concern is Patrick Queen was beat up last year, being the guy that played 100% of the snaps. How do you change that? And is Peyton Wilson that guy? Is he ready to be that guy? He gave up 91% of his passes last season, and he isn't a run stuffer type guy. Cole Holcomb's not going to take Patrick Queen off the field. How do you keep Patrick Queen fresh? I think that's the everybody goes to Patrick Queen. I think having somebody next to Patrick Queen means so much to the Steelers, and they just don't have any options. Like none that are good enough to take PQ off the field.
Don't underestimate contract year either, though. Peyton Wilson, he puts together a solid year. He's getting paid next year at this time, and that tends to be the ultimate motivator. He doesn't throw out those first couple of years. It doesn't really matter. So he could be motivated. So if I'm saying who's going to have a better season this year, I might be leaning the guy that wants the money rather than the guy who wants to head somewhere else. And that's how I view these two right now. I mean, it doesn't mean Queen's not going to resign. I think it'd be a long shot at this point. And another thing, Ray, which is this turnover we talked about, I meant to bring this up. The turnover of roster is obviously is going to happen because of the new staff. But the only wild card with that is a lot of these guys are Omar draft picks. That's a fine line, man. You have to keep those guys. But that's why I think if there's a bad season, you're going to see a lot of that turnover.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, wow, I didn't see that one coming.
I mean, this is sort of a sidebar conversation to what we're having right now, but I'm fascinated by, like, the new coaching staff coming in, looking at the game tape from last year, and then trying to figure out, okay, was this a coaching issue, like a scheme issue, a technique issue, or is this a talent issue, and this guy really doesn't fit here? So, like, when I hear, like, what Ryan Clark said, intimating that he got some info from Joe with the inside linebackers, had to play better. We had a situation. We talked to Patrick Graham a couple of times this offseason. There was one instance, I think you guys remember, where the communication issue was being talked about. And he kind of had a chance to say something about the old coaching staff. And he held himself. He was like, I'm not going to get into that. But it's almost like, okay, some of these players are going to be good for Patrick Graham's defense. And some of these players, whether they run faster or jump higher, do whatever, schematically, they just might not be a fit for his defense. So that's something that just has to be sorted out here. It's not going to be sorted out in training camp. It's going to be sorted out over seasons rather than weeks. And Steelers fans just have to be prepared for that. They're still going to try to win. Patrick Graham's still going to try to draw up defenses every single week, but it's going to take some time for him to get his types of guys in here. And I think, you know, they're probably right. Inside linebacker is a group that's probably going to get overhauled here in the not too distant future.
For sure. All right.
I think you just made an argument for why they should have maybe burned it down. Right. I mean, if they're going to do all this turnover and they're not sure what they want yet, why are they doing what they're doing where they did this offseason, try to win now? Personally, I think it's because they don't want to have a losing season in the first season back after Tomlin. That's what I think.
I think that's 100% part of it. There's no – Rooney doesn't want any sort of burn down. That's not even on his agenda. And he is 100% taking this as we have to stay. Tomlin wasn't the reason we were winning. We're still a great football team.
You guys wrong with wanting to win. I mean, Art Rooney gets hammered for that. I'm all for that, man. I don't know. I covered the team in 2003, and it was a miserable season. It stunk.
No, I don't disagree. I think the way that they went about it was fine.
Maybe it's selfish on my part. I want to win. Do all I can do is win now. I don't know what's happening tomorrow. So I don't know why he gets so much pushback from that.
People want to tear it down. People are always looking for – everybody thinks a rebuild is the only way to do it again. I don't think the Steelers have done a pretty good job. It might take more time, but maybe it doesn't at the same time. You know, like maybe you look at the Steelers when it really hit like rock bottom. It was like, okay, this is a bad football team. Since then, that's what, 2021 is when it like just ended. Marquise Pounce, the downfall of 2020, which was the COVID year, that's when they started, 11-0. Like the moment that downfall happened, that's when they headed towards like, this is getting really bad. And then it took 6 years and they're at a place where, I mean, like, are they more than a franchise quarterback away from being a serious contender? No, I don't think so. I think they got a roster good enough for it.
Ray, you're a baseball fan. How many straight 5-year plans are the Pirates on right now?
Yeah.
Right? Honestly, do you really want to turn it – burning it down doesn't do anything except make you have a chance to build it up. Doesn't mean it's going to work. Arizona stunk for 40 years. Cleveland tore it down every other year. I mentioned the Pirates, so I'm all for the winning. Just go try to win. No, I say that. I think they should tear it down if they go 6-11 this year.
Hey, we're going to have this conversation. I don't know how many times between now and the draft next year, but even if you get the number one overall pick, think about all the number one overall pick quarterbacks who have failed, right? Jamarcus Russell is probably number one, but there have been so many others. Like, even guys in the top 10. I mean, it's a crapshoot. Like,
Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert.
Josh Rosen, it never ends.
Yeah.
I mean, Mitch Trubisky. Shout out to Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah. Even the good ones are not great.
You have no idea. You never have any idea what you're
getting. Jaden Daniels was great 1 year. Now he stunk last year. Now does that mean he's going to be good this year? It's out on him. So
Better have a team around him. And they won't.
That's why you give $60 million to Baker Mayfield and call it a day.
Yeah, his rookie year, Jaden Daniels' rookie year, they got hot at the right time, right?
Yes.
Basically what happened, and they had a hard time repeating that. So.
Yeah, I mean, okay, the Steelers went 6-10 and drafted Ben the next year. Great. That's probably a once-in-a-lifetime.
Yeah, you don't get that all the time. No. You don't. You're going to miss three more times before you get – shout out to Kenny Pickett. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what happens. Like, well,
there was two other quarterbacks taken, right? Eli and
Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers.
So he was the third pick, really. And Cowher didn't even want him.
Cowher wanted Rivers.
Who did Cowher want? Philip Rivers?
He wanted Philip Rivers.
I think didn't they want Shane Andrews too, or Sean Andrews too?
Well, that's right. But I think if you were talking ranking the quarterbacks going into that draft, I don't know if it was because of the North Carolina State connection or whatever, but Bill Cowher favored Rivers among all those three quarterbacks. Yep. But yes, you're right. They, you know, the whole story is they wanted to tackle at number 11. Dan Rooney stepped in and said, "Hey, we made this mistake in 1983 with Dan Marino. We're not going to make it again. We're going to take the quarterback." And, you know, that's what happened.
Wow, we got off on a tangent there, huh?
We did.
It sounds like a July 7th Steelers collective to me.
Here we are. We're in the abyss, guys. We're 3 weeks. 3 weeks away. And we'll be up there every single day. All right, let's end our agenda here with our biggest concerns for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2026. We each got three of them that – we're a little worried about for this team heading into training camp. You guys want me to go first on this? You guys want to go first? How you want to go on this?
No, you go.
Don't pick the obvious, right?
Don't pick the
Rodgers.
No. I don't think that is a concern. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a concern for me. I
make his health.
I don't think that is either. Why?
17-game health?
He played 15 or 16 games last year.
I hear you.
Like, and it's – and honestly, like, he played 16 games, and
he doesn't want to get hit, and he lost a step.
That part I do worry about.
That's my sarcastic voice.
I don't think he does want to get hit as much. I wouldn't want to get hit at 42 years old either. I'm still not worried about Aaron Rodgers. My concerns. What is not obvious? Number one, I'm just giving you my list. Number one is the right side of the offensive line. To me, I think everybody's excited about Dylan Cook and Spencer Anderson and Brock Hoffman and maybe Jennings Dunker and Maxi Honichor. What if they don't work out? You know, Spencer Anderson started before, and I like Spencer Anderson. I have a lot of faith in Spencer Anderson. I'm optimistic that he's going to succeed, but he hasn't like held a starting job yet. He's had opportunities to start, and I don't think he's really made the most of them so far, but they like what they've seen out of the growth. Cool. Dylan Cook, 5 good starts last season. Awesome. It's his first 6 football games of his NFL career. I think there's a lot of question marks there. Offensive line is easily my number one. We going round table on this? Are we going all three? What do you guys want to do? Round table.
Okay, right. I can go.
There's my first concern right there, offensive line.
Mm-hmm. My biggest concern is, do they have enough time to get things rolling right now? That's what I'm saying, is they got the whole new 23-man coaching staff. Do they have enough time to get installed and getting up to top speed for the easier part of the schedule early on? I think that's a big concern for me, because if you start off slow, the offensive line started off slow last year, you can't have that. I think that's why we saw what we saw in OTAs. They have to hit it hard, running fast, man. They got to be good from day one. And I don't know that my concern is, are they going to be ready for September 13th against Atlanta? I don't know. I think that's my biggest concern.
I actually have a couple of other spots on the roster that I'm more concerned with in this position, but okay. I'm going to go with this one now, just piggybacking off what Mark said. And even though I like what they did at receiver with the acquisition of Michael Pittman and Jeremy Bernard, I worry about, okay, new coordinator, new head coach, new play caller, Aaron Rodgers last season. You're throwing all this stuff against the wall and hoping that you can get 4 or 5 good months out of this group. And you know it's all going to change next season. So it's probably not my biggest concern, but just in terms of what Mark was talking about, just the time and just like everything is new again. And they're kind of starting over with a lot of familiar pieces, but a lot of new pieces as well. And I think that can get tricky, especially early in the season, like Mark was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. All right. You guys got way more creative than I was thinking on these. So I'm trying to get,
Do a snake draft so Ray go twice.
Yeah. No, look at it. I got one. I've been thinking the entire time. I'll toss Mike McCarthy out there and say, I don't think that the whole like got to put your foot on the gas and, you know, be a little bit more tough and straightforward and take the bleachers away in your first year, you know, really like set the standard. I don't think that's a concern of mine. Everybody wants to bring up like, well, your quarterback's 42 years old and TJ Watt's dealing with injuries and Cam Hayward's 37. Like, how do you do all this? Mike McCarthy knows how to do this. He's just his organization and his attention to detail I've already seen tells me he's going to be able to do it. How much stock does the hometown boy returning to Pittsburgh and going into his first season, how does that hold up, both good and bad? If it is really, really good early, things are probably easy. Right. If what Mark says, and you are, you know, 2-8 at week 10 coming back from, or 2 weeks back from Paris, how does that look? How do you react? How bad does it get? Do you try to hold on? Do you give up? To me, I just think that the whole hometown thing, the comeback, all the attention on him, the Aaron Rodgers, just like you said, is it a lot of pressure? Is it too much pressure? Are you trying to build too many storylines at once? That sometimes that doesn't work.
He has to have a lot of pressure on him, McCarthy.
This is what I'm saying. He knows everybody. He doesn't take the Greenfield hat off. He wears it when he wears suits.
Which is great.
That's awesome. But you're adding that on top of Aaron Rodgers last season, on top of, you know, Mike Tomlin leaving, and this is a new team and still trying to win a Super Bowl. And then imagine if it starts working.
Do you guys feel that he has the personality for that? I think he does.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Mike McCarthy's been very impressive to me. A very impressive
heck. I wasn't anticipating it either. Now let's see what we do moving forward. But so far, it's been impressive to me.
Yeah, I expected a Yinzer that hung out in Wisconsin for a long time, you know, which is not a recipe.
Archie's get some wings, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's not what I expected when I first met him. Not at all.
He is very detailed. We'll see if there's buy-in among the veterans. It seems like
there is.
Yeah, but he is a guy who's always going to be prepared. So, yeah, there's expectations and there's pressure on him, but it doesn't seem like that's going to phase
him. I'll move on here. I'm a little concerned about a safety. Deshaun Elliott, your guy. Wrong room. I was looking behind you.
He was
very good 2 years ago. He was very good a year or half a year last year before he got injured. If he happens not to be up to speed – or lost a step, or that injury is concerning him whatsoever, which he said it hasn't, and you have to take his word for it, who fills in there? That's the problem. Now if you're moving Ramsey there, then you're moving Echols here, then you're moving Porter there, then you're moving Everett here. I think he might be the linchpin to keeping this all where they want it to be if he can play at his, maybe not the level of 2 years ago. But I'd be a little bit concerned about the depth at safety.
I'm very concerned about the depth and safety. I think everybody wants to toss out inside linebacker as like a concern. How about the fact that you have two guys who have are known for being injured the last couple of seasons, and your backup is a guy who didn't show up for 3 months because he was taking care of stuff, and then it's Sebastian Castro. That's very concerning. It's the most concerning position on the roster.
I mean, I just say secondary overall. You can include the corners in that as well. Like, where is Jalen Ramsey? You know, I just go back to the Cincinnati game last year, just how, you know, they just got picked apart. And that wasn't the only game where they struggled. There were other games where teams were just passing at will on them. And it was corner, it was safety, it was everything, you know, playing into that entire group being just, you know, to borrow a line from Mike Tomlin, below the line and well below the line. So they got some stuff to figure out. I think they're going to use Ramsey as a hybrid. You got Jamel Dean coming in. They seem to like Echols. So it seems like they got a plan, but until I see that plan materialize and I see them, you know, not get crapped on like they got crapped on last season, I'm going to be a skeptic.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. For the third and final one here. Uh-oh. Oh, this isn't a concern of mine.
Hey, way to do research, by the way, just off the top of your head right now.
No, I tried to get so creative. I'm trying to get creative now because you guys just blew my – mine was straight positions coming in here. I was like, okay, we're talking outside or inside linebacker.
Big boys now, man.
I didn't realize. I appreciate that I'm learning, okay? That's how I view this. I appreciate that I'm learning, all right? I'm going to go Pat Freiermuth. I don't think Pat Freiermuth is a concern as for, like, I think he's a bad player. The reasons that Pat Freiermuth haven't been as involved in this offense or had the success that he probably should have with the contract that he has are probably – there's probably four or five of them. You could toss Jonnu Smith, Arthur Smith himself probably at moments out there. What do you get this season from Pat Freiermuth? Because I think that Aaron Rodgers needs a tight end. I just like you said, Ray, about the whole wide receiver group, I have no faith in Roman Wilson until Roman Wilson puts faith in me. Yeah. Jeremy Renard looks good, but what does that look like the first – we talked about this last week. What does that look like the first 5 weeks of the season? Is that enough? You're going to need Pat Freiermuth. That you can't come into – you can't go into New England and have two good wide receivers as receiving options, and that's it. Because you got better, but you didn't get that much better. I think Pat Freiermuth, what he can do, how he could bounce back, I wouldn't say it's a concern, but I do think it plays a pretty significant role into this offense.
I was just going to go straight some running back issues, but I'm not. I'm going with overall explosiveness. Do they have enough people on this offense to be explosive? I mean, I guess Doddles could be explosive, Warren too, but they're more power backs. Same with Darnell Washington. Freiermuth can stretch the field. Pittman isn't known for that, right? Do they have enough to really have those big chunk plays? So I'm a little bit concerned that maybe you're not going to get the 2.5 yards per attempt, but I don't know how much down the field, big plays, quick strikes offense this is. I could be wrong. Metcalf could be that guy. I don't think Bernard's going to be that guy. I just don't see where that's coming from. Maybe they don't want to do that. Maybe they just want to be a ground and pound type of guy, but you would like to throw the ball down the field with Rodgers' arm. I'm just not sure if they have the right amount of people that can turn a small play into a 80-yarder.
Well, there was a ton of respect given to Kenneth Gainwell during the free agent process, but it didn't seem like they were overly concerned about replacing him with Rico Dowdle. And I just look back to all the big plays that he made last year, Mark, and you were talking about it. How about the Lions game? You know, kind of like a broken play, and that's a huge play in that football game. I don't know if they win that football game if Kenneth Gainwell doesn't make that play late in the second quarter.
Well, Warren had two in that game, didn't he? Big ones.
Yeah, well, two long runs, but like I'm talking like broken plays where you know you don't really expect it, right? So I'm not overly concerned about the running backs either, but I'm a little bit concerned about replacing Gainwell's production. Was it the Bears game where he did the fake tush push and they, you know, he got down to like the 2 or 3 yard line.
And I mean, the Minnesota game, right, where he just went out for 100 yards or whatever it was because Warren was a late scratch.
Yeah. And I think Dowdle's going to be a good player. He's just going to be a different type of player. I think he's going to be a volume back, and he's going to control the game a little bit more. And, you know, we talked about this way back when, you know, Gainwell and Warren are a little bit redundant. So maybe you didn't need both of those guys, but to both of your points, the big plays, Kenneth Gainwell provided a lot of those for the Steelers last season.
He did, but I'll also say Jalen Warren has provided a ton, you know, over his time as well. And I think that if you put him in that role last year, he became the power back. So I think it took away a lot of those opportunities.
Yeah.
What can he provide when he's the next Kenneth Gainwell? Because that's he's going to play less. You know, he's only going to be out there to kind of have those explosive plays. What can he – how can he make, you know, the most of them?
Think about the Seattle game. Think about the Seattle game in that.
Yes, the 60-yard catch. Yeah, exactly.
I just don't think that they want to play football the way Gainwell excelled last year. That's the way I looked at it. Plus, Gainwell didn't want to be here, I don't think. He wanted to go back south.
So. I don't blame him. It's warm. It's warm down south. All right, Ray, what's your last one here? Ray, what's your last one?
No, my last one was going to be the running backs. And just like I said, just the it's going to be different with Dowdle as opposed to Gainwell. And I would have that well down my list of concerns after secondary and after receivers. But I'm just curious about how it's all going to play out, you know, with a new situation with Dowdle and Warren, how they break it down. I think it's going to be close to 50-50 again. But, again, they got to get that figured out.
Yeah, I agree. Does Ryan O'Hearn hit the cycle because
is he close?
He's halfway there. Oh, actually, he's halfway to a home run cycle. He's got a grand slam and a 3-run homer.
Oh, shit. Tonight.
Yeah.
They're actually providing run support.
Look,
Paul Skeens.
Look at what is happening. All right. We're going to start answering questions. Toss them in the chat. We'll get to as many of them as we can. First, we got a word from our boys over at Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app, and the best place to win cash while watching sports. This week, Aaron Rodgers over at least a half on the season, 300 plus yard passing games. Jalen Ramsey over a quarter sack on the season. Jalen Ramsey to me is an easy one. Did Aaron Rodgers have a 300 yard passing game last year? I don't think he did. Maybe the Jets.
He went over 300. I think.
Did he?
There were some opening game, I believe so.
Yeah, we're gonna look it up.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up on the fly here. But to answer your question, I think with McCarthy, it's probably going to happen more than it did under Arthur Smith because I think Mike is going to try to possess the ball more. But, I don't think he was prolific last year. You got the numbers?
I think he last one was playing for the Jets. He has nothing on his Steelers.
I was going to say his most last season is 294. Week 17 against the Ravens. So he came close. It's a good one. That's a good one. All right. Using our promo code HMA or by clicking the link below, new users who play $5 get $50 in lineups. Just use the promo code and the link. Can't wait to hear your lineups. All right. Let's dive into some questions here. Toss them in the chat. We'll get to as many of them as we can before we head out of here. Let's start with Sasha. If you look at the team as it stands here today, what would be your first three picks in the 2027 NFL draft based on needs and rank them? Quarterback.
That's a hard question.
we could all agree on quarterback.
Yeah.
Number two.
Defensive line.
I think you have to go defensive line. You got, especially if you're going to let Benton walk, you have to go defensive line. Safety be up there?
Inside corner. Linebacker? I mean,
inside linebacker, another good one.
But I mean, I think we talked about this the last couple of weeks. How many times are first round inside linebackers worth it? You know, those guys, a lot of times you get better players, I think, second and third round sometimes. And again, it's all about scheme fit, especially with inside linebackers. You got to find the right player for your system.
Well, you never know. I mean, that's a hard question because somebody could step up this year. Hypothetically, maybe Carson Bruner turns into, you know, the next Ray Lewis, right? Then you don't need it. I mean, I'm really stretching it here a little bit.
Hypothetically, yes.
You know, maybe Mason Rudolph gets a huge opportunity and they want to re-sign him for a five-year deal. Who knows? You don't need a quarterback then.
Maybe that is exactly what happens.
First round, right?
Maybe. That's – I'm not going to ask the question. I was going to ask the question. I'm not going to ask the question. I do want to ask with the inside linebacker, though. Are you more surprised now that they didn't draft an inside linebacker, hearing what Clark said about Joe Witt?
Well, they looked at him, right? I mean, if you look at –
they looked at a ton of them. Yeah.
Pre-draft visits, I forget how many there were, but I want to say at least four or five came in.
Yeah.
A couple of those guys were like second, third round projections. So I think it was on the radar. I just don't think the right guy probably fell to them. I think that's how it played out.
You know my feelings on that. I think you can find one in free agency that's a little bit more secure than one you can draft in the first 10, 12, 15, 20 picks.
It's true.
I think that's the route they'll go. I don't know who's going to be free agent next year or whatever, but I'm sure there's going to be somebody better than what they could potentially draft. I mean, if you can get an inside linebacker for a decent price on the free agency market, then address another need in drafts is the way I would.
Yeah, I feel like inside linebackers are so hard to come by these days that it makes more sense to go free agency. You could go get a Robert Splay and you feel comfortable spending the money on him compared to, you know, Devin Lloyd is a perfect example. Guy was drafted. He was supposed to be the next guy. They let him walk in free agency.
Well, Devin Lloyd was good for a while. Devin Bush sucked all the time.
Until he went to Cleveland. Until he went to Cleveland.
The point is they are overdue for their next James Farrier.
Yes. Yes.
James Farrier came in that 04 season. Had like 141 tackles. It's like,
yeah, ooh. I think it was before that. Yeah.
Oh, two? Did he come in?
Yeah, he came in before Ben. He came in before Ben.
Yeah, it was like crazy. 140. That's still a single season record for tackles for the Steelers. 145-ish, 43-ish.
That's one crazy. Of the best free agent signings in Steelers history. I might.
That's crazy. Quick, Noah. Thank you so much. Hello, Ray and Mark. What do you guys think of Dalen Everett from what you've seen so far? Thanks, gentlemen.
Quick to one must be a all Steelers talk fan.
Must be. I think everybody should thank me at all times. You guys should just thank me every day when we get on here. I like Dalen Everett a lot.
I like how you're holding the microphone though. You're talking about a rookie.
I got nothing to. If I showed you my setup right now, all right, the office is getting painted. We'll be back in there next Tuesday. If I showed you the setup right now, you would realize that I'm working with nothing.
Maybe you shouldn't worry about the old sauna in the back and get a little paint done.
The kid needs a sauna, and I'm painting, okay? It'll be done by tomorrow. It'll be done by tomorrow. If we did this on Wednesdays, we'd be fine. I bought the wrong paint color, so, you know.
There's no such thing as wrong. You know they sell little.
I did, and I liked it, and then I did the whole wall and said, I don't like this anymore, so I had to go back and do it again. I
should have went black and gold.
Yeah. That'll look great, actually. And then I'll never have to paint it when I have kids. I'll just put them in there.
You having a kid? Congratulations.
No. All right. Dalen Everett. How are we feeling about Dalen Everett?
He's a height, weight, speed guy, and I think they like working. This new staff likes working with those types of D-backs. They also got a safety who's exactly like that. You know, it's a short sample size, but they really put him to the test in OTAs. They put him up against some really good players. Didn't always happen for him, but at least he got that experience. And I think they'll be looking to do more of the same in training camp here in a little bit less than a month.
Yeah, I think we'll see a lot more what he can do in training camp. There's a huge difference between OTAs and going out and run, hit tackle, and get tired and sweaty and grumpy. So, he looks like he has everything needed maybe not to be a starter this year, but, you know, down the road. But let's see how that manufactures itself in 4 weeks in Latrobe or 3 weeks. Yeah. That's where I look at, man. It's hard. Whoever you think might be good or look good at OTAs, they just disappear. Mr. June.
Who's the craziest Mr. June you've ever witnessed?
Well, I had a Mr. May one time, Mr. April, when I told my old Dree Archer story.
You were a Dree Archer believer.
He was a monster at rookie minicamp. Then he comes in 2 weeks later with the real players. And I was like, oh, nope. That won't happen again. I won't fall for that one.
Hey, I did a story a couple weeks back on Robert Spears Jennings running a 4.32 at the combine, and I was doing research for that story, like the top 10 or 15 guys in the history of the combine in 40 time, there were like two who became good players. There were guys you never heard of. Speaking of Dree Archer, who John ran Brown. Really fast but couldn't play in the NFL.
Oh, is that John Ross, wasn't it?
John Ross. The Steelers got some guy last year, too, from Baylor. He was on the practice squad for like a day.
Really? Yeah. I mean,
DHB was on that list, wasn't he?
He wasn't like in the top 10 I was looking at, but just a bunch of guys you never heard of. And like John Ross, like compared to everyone else on that list, John Ross at least like played 5 or 6 years and had like one good season. But yeah. 40 times don't matter. It's the same thing with a bench press. Like the guy who holds the bench press record at the combine, I don't think he ever played in the NFL. You
know? That's crazy.
Malik Willis throwing the ball 80 yards off his back foot on the back rollout. Yeah. And Rich Eisen going crazy. It's like, okay, this will happen once a career.
Yeah.
But, you know, what about the 8-yard check down? Can you hit that throw?
Well, we're going to find out this year because they're going to try to do it a lot in Miami. I'll toss another one for the Mr. June here, Gunnar Olszewski. That guy, I've never seen somebody more open in my life than Gunnar Olszewski during OTAs and minicamp, ever. That man was all any play, didn't matter what he was running, he was wide open. Training camp starts, he didn't even make it to the season. Training camp starts, Gunnar Olszewski disappears, completely disappears. It was ridiculous how drastic it was.
What was my favorite Gunnar Olszewski when there was a kickoff and he toe-tapped it on the 20-yard line to stay in bounds? Like, oh.
Yes.
Danny Smith must have went nuts on him over there.
That was one of the times he lost a tooth or something. He was yelling so much while chewing gum.
He's still in the league, though. I think he got hurt, though, didn't he?
He did. They just put him on IR. He was with the Giants, I think. So, Calvin Austin.
Interesting cat, man. Interesting bird.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Shavak. Steelers need to sign Bobby Wagner ASAP.
Where is he playing?
Inside
linebacker.
Was this 2020?
They don't like them. They don't like their inside linebackers. So there you go. You can't do it. You don't have too many linebackers. Yeah. But I'm not going to act like it wouldn't be a good move if you, like, replaced Malik Harrison with Bobby Wagner.
Bobby Harrison could play special teams.
Huh?
He's 36 years old, right?
Yeah.
He's the one where you get and you stash on the practice squad just in case you need him. But if you're Bobby Wagner, why in the world would you want to do that after having the career that you had?
He had 162 tackles last year. That's an insane amount of tackles. We just talked about how 145 is the Steelers' record.
Well, what was he, middle linebacker on 4-3? That's conducive to more tackles.
Yeah, he was the middle linebacker. Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. But, like, I mean, this man's 2 years removed from 183 tackles in a season.
Doesn't this go back to system fits? I mean, he played previously for Quinn a million years ago in Seattle, right? Like, there are just some guys who fit really good with certain coaches and certain schemes.
You bring a good point. You want to hear who his coach was last year?
Tell me.
Joe Witt.
There you go.
Joe Witt. Let me read this stat line. Seriously. Yeah. Started 17 games, 2 interceptions, 6 or 4 pass deflections, 4.5 sacks, 162 tackles, 8 tackles for loss. That's a good 35-year-old football player.
He's having a Cam Hayward type late season run, isn't he?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it'd be bad. You're not getting him on the practice squad. I'm shocked he's not signed somewhere, but I can't sit here and say it'd be a bad move. They would never do it, but I couldn't sit here and say it was a bad move.
I just Googled Bobby Wagner and sign to see if he signed somewhere or what he was looking at, and the word cancer came up. I guess that's his sign, zodiac sign. That's not a good sign. It just said Bobby Wagner cancer. I'm like, what? What am I missing here? Then I'm like, oh, it's a zodiac sign.
There he is. Oh. I don't know what that means. I don't know what
4 hours ago. The obvious free agent match for the Bengals is Bobby Wagner.
Pittsburgh Steelers. That would be terrible. Just let him go to Cincy. He'd probably be good in Cincy.
They're already going to go 14-3.
Slammy Sportscast, Mr. Caboli, record prediction for this year.
Oh, man, you're not going to like this. I've said this a number of times. They're either going to be 12-5 or 5-12. That's it. Way to go out on a limb here. I don't think we're going to be flirting for 8-9s and 9s and 8s. They're either going to surprise everybody and have a monster year, or they're going to look like crap. I just don't see any in-between. What I think would be – I don't want to get caught up in that, though.
Let's go, dude. Bring on the aggregators. What?
I'm leaning towards the better record than the worst record.
Me too.
But I can see a 5-12 if things really go bad.
I can see that too.
That's not a bad take, but like the 9-8, 10-7 is like in the DNA of those players on that roster too.
Yes.
So somehow, some way, they might get back to that point.
What is wrong, guys, with 10 wins in a season? We act like that's just crap.
It's not believable. I wouldn't act like that.
You suck in the playoffs, that's different. That's a different argument. 10 wins. Oh, they're going to be another 10-win team. Oh, yeah, that's terrible.
You're not wrong.
They lost 7 games in a row. That's one thing.
It's when you get to the postseason. That's what, you know, you win 13 games and losing the second round of the playoffs or the first round of the playoffs. It's the same thing. It's all the same thing. Sasha, I also have a question regarding Keanu Benton. Is he really valued somewhere around $18 million a year? That seems bonkers. Would you guys let him walk if that's the number he wants?
Absolutely. Isn't that more than Hayward's making?
Right? Yes.
I mean, Cam's making around that number. Yeah, it is bonkers, but did anyone think Javon Hargrave was going to make over $20 million a year? I mean,
no,
I wouldn't say that Javon's past his prime now, but he was actually good when he went to another team and was more productive. So all depends on fit. But yeah, for the Steelers, I think $18 million is a bit overpriced.
I agree. 15 is kind of where I look at it and go, okay, that's a decent number.
This is great. I just once again looked this up. The two major sites with contracts are SpotTrack and Over the Cap, right?
Yeah.
One has them valued at $26 million a season, and the other one has them at $8 million a season. So you tell me.
What's the medium? What's that?
15 or 16, right? That's probably the
– Right there. That is the magic number.
That's you saying out loud, I have no clue.
No, nobody has any clue. Nobody has any clue. I agree. Got to be a little overpriced. Charlie Mac, can each one of you provide your sleeper to make the roster? No repeat answers.
So I can't say Sebastian Castro, huh?
No, you could say that, but then none of us could say it. I know, and I was going to say it, but then you took it, so you could have that one.
I don't want that one because that's already been in my portfolio.
All right, who's your one then?
Is Riley Nowakowski considered a sleeper?
I think so.
You think he's on the bubble?
I think he's on the bubble.
I think he's firmly on the team.
Me too.
He's the replacement for Connor Hayward, isn't he?
He is. When he starts playing fullback, I'll believe that. But until then, I don't know. And my big thing is if he doesn't look like really good during or like decent, if he doesn't look decent during the summer and the preseason, do you think there's any like conversation from Aaron Rodgers to say like Robert Tonyan's my guy? Why would you get rid of Robert? He's an asset to this team. Don't put him on the practice squad. I think you could sneak him on.
Yeah.
I wonder how much Aaron's going to want him on the roster if Riley Nowakowski isn't good. Like,
I think what Tonyan is, when he signed late minicamp or something.
Yeah.
Many teams had a chance to grab him if they wanted him.
So I agree. You could put him on the practice squad. I'm just saying. Well, yeah. I wonder.
Like the Valvo Scantling thing. I mean, he could be the same way. I mean, does Ryan McCollum count?
No. Riley Nowakowski is a good answer. We'll take that. We'll accept that one as an answer. Ray, who's yours?
He's going to say Eli.
I mean, we got done talking about the running back redundancy with Gainwell and Warren. I think there's a little redundancy with Caden Wiegen and Eli Heidenreich. And I wonder if both of those guys are going to make the team. Right now, I would say the fourth round pick is going to make the team. But listen, if Eli outplays him, I don't know. Maybe you find a way to keep him. He's a great story. I hope he plays well during training camp. I think that would make a lot of good stories for us to write and to talk about.
Me too.
In August. You think? Maybe if Will Howard throws him some balls and hands him off, then imagine the whole St. Vincent College will explode.
We're going live immediately. Second that happens, we're going live right from the feet, right from the sideline. Yeah, I think Eli is a good one. I know you guys are way more sold on Caleb Johnson making the roster than I am, but I still think Eli's got a shot. Oh man. He took all the good answers. Oh, a sleeper to definitely make is where we get we're really pushing the line here. Because I was going to go Gabe Rubio.
Oh,
I think that, you know, if he looks better than Logan Lee, why would you not keep a Gabe Rubio? He's a draft pick of Mike McCarthy's.
There you go. Yeah.
Sleeper. That's like
roster turnover.
That's the ultimate sleeper. Again, I would say I wouldn't predict he makes the roster, but he's the last guy I think I could think of that like borderline walks what we're looking for there. All right, let's keep it trucking here. Grayson the Ginger, how much are we going to be able to really evaluate Aller and Howard during this year's training camp and preseason, and how much playing time will they get in the preseason? I expect both of them to get a lot of playing time in the preseason. Howard will most likely start at least two games, I would guess.
Yeah, evaluate's the key. I mean, we can see what they're doing. They're going to have a lot of tape on both of these guys, and how they evaluate how they're getting better is the key. It's not going to be going out there and actually throwing touchdowns and saying, okay, he's ready. I still don't think there's anything either one of those can do in a matter of 4 weeks to prove that they're ready to be the number two, but I'm just, you know, I might be on the minority there, but he's going to need to show something in preseason. And it's tough, man. Not a lot of people really put much into the preseason games as well. So you're just not going to have enough opportunities unless you give one of those guys starting reps during the season, which is not going to happen. That's why you're taking it slow. So can you evaluate them? Sure. But it's not going to be an evaluation where you can say, I feel comfortable with them, either one of them being the number two.
Yeah, these guys will be evaluated more than other teams with less veteran quarterbacks. But, yeah, to Mark's point, it's tough to evaluate these guys when it's not for real. And it's not going to be for real in August.
It's not. All right, two more to round out the show here. Sasha, do you think Art Rooney will soon hand over the team to Dan? 5 years.
The late ambassador was what, Mark, 75 when he handed it over to Art. So I think Art might be getting close to that number. So I would say 2 to 3 years, I think, is probably.
I think there was some other things involved with that. They wanted to get him out of the everyday aspect of the game. I don't think Art's what, 70, whatever, and he doesn't seem like a 70-some-year-old man. No. I think it's a gradual process to me.
Yes.
One day in the year 2032, you're going to open the media guide, and if there is a media guide, or click on it on your laptop. Yeah. I'm just going to say team owner or president, Daniel Michael Rooney, whatever his name is how you decipher him. Yeah. It's not going to be like, hey, let's have a press conference. Art's retiring. It's not going to happen.
No,
that is how it happens. They slip it into the media guide.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good to know.
And then they tell Ed Bouchette to look it up.
That's really good to know, actually. That's really good to know. When I see Ray hanging out on the media guide, I'm going to be like, okay, where are we going? All right, let's finish it off here. Beer is good. Beer is good food for you. What are each of you personally looking forward to the most and least when camp finally opens? Can't steal each other's answers. The thing I'm looking to forward most is football, man. Like, give me the dead period's fun. Until it's 8:01 and you're sitting here going, I don't know what we're going to talk about next week because there is nothing. Football always puts a smile on my face. Give me some football. I'm excited for it. So many stories to cover. Just thrilled to be out there. The thing I'm looking forward to least is the drive and the amount of sunburn that I will have by, you know, August, whatever. That's what I'm looking forward to least.
I'm definitely looking forward to the most, the end of it. That camp is just brutal. Especially for an old guy, especially the heat. But what I'm looking forward to the most, or the least, that's the most. The least I'm looking forward to is every single play blown up like it's a freaking World Series, Super Bowl, Stanley Cup. Boy, Eli Heidenreich looked good. He's unbelievable. He should be starting. Mason Rudolph should be this. He stinks. He threw the ball behind him. Aaron Rodgers really doesn't look like his arms. We dissect this to the death. And I hate doing that to that degree, especially this year with the quarterbacks. I was there with the four quarterbacks back in the Chuck Patch and the Byron Leftwich days, and I know how that was dissected. This is probably going to be worse.
For me, we get this about, what, once every 20 years in Pittsburgh? New coaching staff. How do these guys work? Yeah. How do they interact with players? How's it going to be different with the fans? You know, we haven't had this since 2007 and before that, 1992, before that, 1969. So I'm looking forward just to the newness of it all.
That's awesome. I agree.
It'll be 11 o'clock start times.
Be up bright and early. Well, making those drives.
You make that drive, you know, you're not going to be able to go over to the Shark Tank.
Afterwards, I know.
Happy hour.
That's what I'm saying. I think it works out way better for us, actually. Nobody's got to get there at 9 p.m. We're going to get there at 4:30, eat reasonable dinner, drink at reasonable hours.
I like to take a little nap afterwards.
Nah. If I'm taking a nap, it's over. It's over. All right. With that said, we almost did it again. I almost forgot to give a huge shout out to the boys over at SeatGeek. SeatGeek, we love you. I want to give a shout out to today's sponsor, SeatGeek. With over 35 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app with more than 70,000 events listed, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. MLB is in full swing. The NBA playoffs just ended, and the NFL season is fast approaching, which means now is the time for SeatGeek. I don't know about you guys, but when I think of me, Ray, and Caboli, I think of Journey. And you know we're going to Journey. I need three tickets, and you know SeatGeek is the way to go. Plus, I've got a promo code for you guys. You guys can use code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of tickets at SeatGeek. That's 10% off any tickets with promo code COLLECTIVE10. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Thank you to SeatGeek. I think to make up for the fact that we've played this the last two episodes, we have to go to Journey. I think we have to go to Journey together.
How about Styx? Is Styx coming to town?
Styx would be a good one. Styx would be a good one. We just
I'm going to call you on this, Noah. Give me a Journey song.
Don't Stop Believing.
No, I knew you were going to say that.
It's Bon Jovi. I don't know if I know a Journey song.
Gratefully, down.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's what I'm saying. I'd have to – Journey and Bon Jovi were not – I was not that type of suburban kid. It was not – Wasn't me.
What Journey, it what Journey's it like Sticks now, though. They don't – it's the different – it's not the same front man. So they're all kind of like these old – different acts. You know?
I don't know about you, Ray, with your kids, but all of a sudden my kids are big Michael Jackson fans. My 9-year-old named off 10 Michael Jackson songs. I'm like, how in the world do you know this?
That's because there's some kind of documentary on Netflix that's coming back up.
He was naming like all these ones. I'm like, I don't know that many. And I grew up during the Michael Jackson era.
Look at Michael Jackson, you can't be hating on Michael Jackson. I mean,
I'm not hating on him. I'm just saying, how's 9 and 10 and 11-year-olds know about Michael Jackson?
You got cultured kids. That's good to know. It's good to know. All right.
Online too much. That's what I have.
All right. With that said, we're heading out of here. Thank you guys so much for jumping on to another episode of the Steelers Collective. Hit that like and subscribe button before you head out of here. Find all our stuff at youtube.com/Steelers Collective, and we'll be back next week. Until then, enjoy another beautiful day in the burg.